Hey, not to be dramatic, but you should smell this. It smells so good.
Whoa, that's quite the reaction to mixing and matching Gain scents. Let's hear another from Ashley, who mixed Gain products and went...
I'm so excited.
Yes, you are. What about you, Isaiah?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
And Emily summed it up like so.
It is just chef's kiss.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Mix, match, more happy with Gain.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, last week, folks, we did some research into this, and this was the Pennsylvania Governor Shapiro and Joe Biden and some others, but at that point we said we really weren't sold 100%. We had to do more looking into this and get more facts. Well, we've done that, too, and we're going to share some of that with you. So go ahead, Style, and take her away.
2025 transmission. I've known Doug Hagman for 20 years. He is a very respected owner of a nationwide private investigation bureau, and he was tasked to investigate by Trump via Jack Posobiec just days after the attempted assassination in Butler and then expanded into the attempted assassination months later in Florida by the CIA operative. Now, since then, the corporate media has tried to just shut the story down for 2 months. Google wouldn't even say that somebody tried to assassinate Trump. Minutes after, national news announced Trump had been killed that day. Then when they hadn't killed him and he popped back up just 30 seconds later, they suddenly said, oh, nothing happened. The president just fell down. Then the FBI director tried to say, a piece of shrapnel hit him. Well, then what did the bullet hit? It didn't hit the teleprompter in front of him. It just anything they could do to make you forget about this because they knew that it had blown up in their face and just gotten him another 10, 15 points. Now, obviously, Doug Hagman has been investigating this for months, and a lot of what they had in the past that they didn't want to release yet because it was an ongoing investigation, obviously. But now Trump has come out and said he wants everything released by everybody over the weekend, including the Secret Service and the FBI. Now, we knew day one that the real director was the deputy director. It was a big Obama operative. And we later learned within a few weeks he had ordered to stand down and drawn most of the Secret Service off of the event. You had the shooter running around the roof for at least 9 minutes with a gun, everybody pointing gun. The Secret Service didn't come and grab Trump. The ones around him didn't know because they weren't told. He's made one of those people that he trusts, you know, the new head of the Secret Service. But so they're not all involved, but administratively they were. Then, over the weekend, the news broke of a criminal affidavits by individuals, including law enforcement, in Pennsylvania, saying, here's how they did it, we know they did it, and it names the governor. Now, the governor is a huge operative. Biden went there over and over again. It was clearly the setup. We know he was involved in the stand down as well. But is this helpful to have this, or does it hurt the investigation? And what can Hagman now reveal that he's gotten from his investigation? And what is he hearing is going to come out with what the feds are suppressing from Butler and from Mar-a-Lago in Florida? And we'll go over the documents and show them. But that the documents are just a side issue in my view. In general, I wanted to get his 35,000-foot view on the findings and where this is going and what he is expecting Trump and his new Justice Department to do. I'm impressed by how they're attacking on all fronts, how all the different FOIA requests and documents that have been supposed to be public but weren't in different agencies are just being published on the federal websites now. So we learned about the Defense Department paying Reuters to, quote, lie to the American people. They actually say deception operations and, you know, learning hundreds of millions being spent to attack InfoWars and other independent media. That came out last week in the Federal Register. And I bring myself into this because look what's happening here. I get in the mail last week the file going back to Obama declaring me a national security threat right through to today. And that just showed up in the mail on an FBI disk. And then now it's public, but they wanted to send it to me, not just publish it in the public FOIA area. Now I just had little birdies direct us yesterday to what's been put out publicly. I'm not getting into it because I want to present it tomorrow, but people can go find it if you want. the Fed spending millions, the DOJ coming after me to NGOs. And so this is just me. Imagine what else is going on, what's coming out. So I want to get his overview of 21 days into the new administration, what his intel is and what the bad guys are planning. The deep state is going to be removed one way or another now. They'll never come back from this. That's why they're so desperate. But I'm concerned they can set a nuke off and say the Russians did it with a tactical nuke, or shoot down his airplane and say that Iran did it. I predicted that back at the time in July. Now Axios 2 days ago, oh, surface air missiles made it across the border, sold in Ukraine and then into Mexico. Just like the American leftist recruiting soldiers for Ukraine goes over there, has all this money but no job, comes back and tries to kill Trump. So we got killers coming back from Ukraine to kill Trump. We got missiles coming through Ukraine back in the U.S. to kill Trump, which is a giant CIA operation. You've got the billions going into USAID into Ukraine, coming back for political manipulation and the fake impeachments against Trump. That all came out. And more and more and more. So this is being revealed in live time. Doug, that's quite the setup there. A lot of places to go with you here on this. You also host the Hagmann Report at Hagmann Report on X, HagmannReport.com. And so I threw a lot out there. You're a great friend. You've had a lot of courage doing this. I know it's dangerous for you and your team. Where would you like to start where I threw out all those different angles?
As you know, Alex, because we've been in contact, shortly after the assassination, we were tasked by people everyone on the planet would know, with looking into the assassination attempt against Donald Trump on July 13th at 6:11 p.m. on that humid day in western Pennsylvania, Butler, which, as I said, it's about 90 miles south of me. And being an investigative agency in western Pennsylvania, well, in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania for the last 40 years, you know, they said, okay, hey, take a look at this with fresh eyes and unbiased, you know, just go in and see what you can find in addition to, and as opposed to even, the investigation that was ongoing by the police agencies. All right. So on that date, I compiled a team of seven investigators, including myself. Since that time, we expended over 300 man hours into this investigation. We have driven over 3,000 miles collectively. We interviewed over 100 people in person. Conducted over 100 in-person interviews, obtained over 300 pages of investigative documents from law enforcement, as well as affidavits from individuals and so on, and generated over 800 pages of individual investigative detail, including but not limited to, and this is a big thing of late, analysis of geofencing, the cell phones and any electronic device that was at the alleged shooter's house, Thomas Crooks, and at the Butler rally. And I'm going to give you the bottom line up front. There is a network right now, as we speak, that still exists in western Pennsylvania and across this country that is interconnected with the intelligence agencies, and people have to understand this, that want Trump dead. I mean, Trump, his family, everyone he ever spoke to in his life, I suppose, they want him dead. That is operational. That has not been shut down. Thomas Crooks, in my investigative opinion, based on hours and upon hours of research and investigation personally, did not act alone. He was, however, and this is... this is based on my findings. He was, however, the dead person on that roof, okay, without doubt, because there was some issue about someone else being there. I'm going to tell you, that someone else that was supposedly on that roof, without giving away too much, I'll just tell you this. I looked at that man in his eyeballs and identified him, and he's very much alive. And that was as of September, October of last year. So... after that, not so sure. But I can tell you, on that roof, that body that was shown is Thomas Matthew Crooks. And as Jack Posobiec, who you had on, who's got the book Bulletproof, interesting, very, very, in fact, required reading. I would urge everyone to get Bulletproof. But here's the thing. In order for everything to have happened the way it happened on that day, on July 13th, the 12 points of failure by the U.S. Secret Service, in conjunction with the failures by Pennsylvania State Police and the individual local bodies, not so much there, but still, there are problems there. For that to happen and then toss in an assassin, a man who wanted to kill the president, the odds against everything happening in that fashion, 1 in 1 septillion. And Jack Posobiec talks about this, writes about this in his book, Bulletproof, and he's absolutely dead nuts accurate. This was a planned, this was not a failure. This was a feature. And I see you have Ruth on the screen. This also goes into the assassination attempt 64 days later. Now, we, as an agency, were not that involved in the investigation of Ruth. The reason, of course, is we don't have license. We're not credentialed in Florida. So we had to rely on a third-party licensed agency that we've worked with for 20 years. Okay, so the findings there don't necessarily indicate any relationship between Ruth and Crooks or Ruth and Butler necessarily. However, the findings show that the handlers, and I use that word purposely, the handlers of Thomas Matthew Crooks, and there were handlers and more than one. In his 43 visits plus to the shooting range in outside of Butler, in the
at the shooting range, the Homeland Security training facility.
Correct. I just want to be very, very precise and very careful. He obviously, there were people that he was associated with. Again, as evidenced by his by some of the records we obtained from a law enforcement source who received them from the shooting range, that show that he was not the only one there. And when he wasn't there, when he wasn't shooting, he was involved in conversations, detailed or heavy conversations with individuals, his handlers. I'm going to say this as well. I was at the shooting range. I was inside there. I was inside. Alex, I'll tell you what, I've been inside. I really thought I was going to retire, but this kind of brought me out. So I've been pretty much everywhere in the Western Pennsylvania area. And during the course of this investigation, I'll just say two more things, somewhat unrelated, but related nonetheless. As we got closer to the truth, we began to be harassed by the FBI. In fact, I've never been escorted out of a county quicker than I have by the FBI in this investigation. This happened to me twice. Escorted to the county line the last time, told not to come back. And, of course, we have other assets in my stead. So no problem there.
And listen, you don't build yourself up, but, you know, Posobiec is, you know, with Trump a lot. He does things for Trump. I'll leave it at that. He's been in intelligence. That's not a secret. But he works directly as a gopher for Trump. He doesn't brag about it, but it's not a secret. So I'll say it. Trump wanted this done. He wanted you to investigate. And imagine then the FBI obviously knows that. You got a team out there and they're literally in your face. Can you describe the incidences and what they did?
When myself and another investigator were engaged in conducting interviews in the Bethel Park area, obviously we were under surveillance by the Bethel Park police. And I'm going to hear about this later, I can guarantee you. But anyway, we were under surveillance, and within probably 15 minutes, that surveillance turned from a local to a federal surveillance.
So they've clearly been told, stay there. We got to come back and take your time on this, Doug. This is big because all this is key. Obviously, right. They're told, see if investigators come, and then they call the feds when you're there, and then they come. We're going to find out what happened when we came back. Everybody should follow you on X at Hagmann Report, HagmannReport.com. Doug Hagmann is our guest. Everybody watching live right now, we will take this interview and archive it in the next hour when he leaves us to X, and this needs 50 million views. We have videos every day that get 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 million views, and they're all important, but a lot of the ones that go super viral are important, but nothing compared to this. I mean, he broke a lot of the key stuff on the Hunter Biden laptop and on the Wiener laptop before it came out, and because he has a lot of sources in New York and New Jersey, they killed a whole bunch of the police involved. I mean, this is dangerous stuff, so... When you have to understand that when he says, well, I'm going to get some hell for this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Just our great sponsor, Nate Hughes, just to give you an example. He got arrested for J6 just being there trying to help a woman they killed in front of him, beat to death in the tunnel. And he was sentenced to a whole bunch of years in prison. Trump pardoned him. Well, he just released the FBI video of them arresting him out on the street. They came and threatened him last week over that and said, basically, we're going to get you for that. And all he did was show them arresting him. So there's still all these FBI agents that don't know this is the United States of America. They're the ones leaking where ICE is going to raid MS-13 and the even just as dangerous Venezuelan gang, human trafficking, murder for hire. And Homan said, we played it last hour, they're going to get people killed. They said, regardless, they know the people that did it, FBI agents, and they're being investigated by DOJ, and he's been told they're going to be indicted very soon. So to the feds doing this that are involved with these cover-ups, there's a new sheriff in town. You shot at the king, you didn't get him. And I would advise them to stop it. But Doug, you've got time here, so I want you to slowly, because this is, I know you haven't talked about this yet, go through everything you found in your investigation, which is huge. There was a network protecting and handling crooks. Clearly there was a stand down. We know that just from the evidence that was there on the roof for 9 minutes running around with a gun. Everybody's, he's a gun. Nobody radios the Secret Service around Trump to get him off the stage. Trump said, yeah, I'd have got off immediately if I knew this. And then you're out there investigating and the FBI's following you around. They got the locals following you around, calling back to the FBI, just like the FBI and the Secret Service with a stand down, not blocking the drones, not giving the Secret Service what they needed when they asked for it. And then it was that deputy director who became the acting director when the puppet quit that we now know was ordering the stand downs. That's come out. But I want you to take your time now because you got hit by the break and just start back over where you were the multiple times that you got escorted to the county line by the feds. I mean, this is a big deal. Go ahead.
Well, again, I don't want to overstate or understate anything. There were two occasions when myself and another investigator traveling in my vehicle or the vehicle I was using for this investigation were escorted to the county line by feds. And the second time was a little bit more.
Well, hold on. You got hit by the break. I want you to finish the first time. Okay, hit a break. Go back to the fairgrounds. First, start over.
All right. Well, the first time actually was we were in the process of interviewing some people in Bethel Park, Thomas Crook's hometown. By the way, we went to the library. This is on the same day. We went to the public library in Bethel Park, looked at Thomas Crook's yearbooks. And this I found rather interesting. Doesn't mean much, not really. But we looked at his yearbooks the Monday before the BBC had came in and taken a photograph of his yearbook picture. Okay. We were in the following Thursday, looked at the yearbook. Somebody had come in between that Monday and Thursday with a pair of scissors and cut out his picture and the picture of yet another individual. We do know the name of the other individual, but we're not going to disclose that. So it was on that same day when we found that out that they were For what reason, I don't know why somebody would want to just cut the picture of Thomas Crooks out of a yearbook. But nonetheless, on that same day, we were interviewing people who knew Thomas Crooks. And of course, we noticed within 15 minutes of one of our final interviews that we had surveillance on us by the local authorities. And 10 minutes after that switched to obvious federal surveillance. And then we continued with the interviews, not to be deterred. I mean, you know, it's within our rights. We're credentialed. We can do this. Except they weren't happy with the people we were talking to. So we ended up, rather than continuing to interview, we ended up being followed by this, we proceeded to a public location, a store, if you will. We were followed by the federal unmarked vehicle, who became more intimidating. I'll leave out the details, but I'll just say this. They were more intimidating, really, by the stop we made. Every stop, a little bit more intimidating, a little closer to the rear bumper, blocking us in. We took a road out of the county on that date. They followed us to the county line and turned around. You would think, okay, those are county officials, but no, those were federal officials making sure we just got out of the county. So the second time was probably a week later. We had the same thing happen to us, except this time we went down a road near, this time we were in Butler, not Bethel Park. That's a 90 mile difference. And we were in Butler, and we went down a road near the, it was a gravel road, a cow path, basically, near the water tower, shall we say. And we traveled down that road, and out of nowhere came another vehicle with obviously two feds in there, okay? How we know this, we were able to verify this afterwards, but... So anyway, we were blocked into this cow path, and we kind of had a standoff for about 15 minutes. Myself, my investigative partner, and a German Shepherd canine dog were in the vehicle. They basically attempted to intimidate us out of the area, and after about 15, 20 minutes, we decided, okay, you know, it's time to go. We'll see what they're going to do. We began to approach them. They backed up to their credit and let us go. But again, they followed us, and we stopped at a convenience store. And one of the individuals, and I haven't told this, I have not said this publicly. One of the individuals, the passenger, got out of the vehicle, came to me and said, "Have you had enough yet? It's time for you to leave." Got back in his vehicle. And he meant business. Now, again, I'm not making that. You know, this could have been...
No, I understand. So describe what he looked like, Doug.
He was mid-40s, mid to late 40s. If I could draw somebody from Central Casting from the FBI, khakis, a polo shirt, I mean, that's what he was wearing at the time. It would be like an FBI agent that you would think, okay, these days, as opposed to Elliot Ness, or, you know, back then. But so anyway, but very, very imposing and very serious about, you know, getting us out of there. How he knew we were there, that's a problem, because we had our cell communications and Faraday bags after the first event. So I don't, you know, how he knew, maybe it was a visual thing. The other thing, again, I told very, very few people this. The vehicle I was driving is a relatively new vehicle that has all the computer stuff on the... I don't even understand the computer stuff. However, I got in it the following morning, and on the splash screen, there was a warning, a big exclamation point with theft detection or theft attempt detected. And I didn't know what that meant, because it was inside a garage, my garage. Okay, so I took it to the dealer, and or I took it to a shop, and they hooked it up to the machine, I guess a diagnostic machine. And they said, okay, this was not a physical attempt, but it was a hacking attempt of the driving mechanism, your steering, brakes, and acceleration. How they know that, I guess, by computer.
No, they can see by the order. Yeah, so somebody, because for those that don't know, almost all the new cars, basically all of them have, by law, not just tracking systems. Remember, Biden signed into law 2 years ago. It was already in most of them for 10 years at least. But they can remote control almost all cars that, you know, have driving assist or safety features. Ford, Chevy, Mercedes, you know, it just goes, the fancier the car, the worse it is. They're already hooked up to be autonomous. And so, somebody like the old X-Files episode 25 years ago was trying to, is what you're saying, hack into the vehicle while you were driving it, it looks like.
Well, that's what I was told. I don't know.
Well, it'll have a timestamp and then how many attempts. So that's true.
Right.
So they specifically said they try to get into the driving mechanism, meaning the quote safety system. It's really the autonomous package.
Right. And again, I don't know how they do that. It's by computer. And
they all have a self-driving car mechanism in them.
Yeah. Okay. So and I was told to get a forensic examination of the vehicle done. But that aside, I mean, why would anyone want to stop the truth from being told? So,
well, let me just tell you, Doug, this is the areas I know of just because I read all the documents in the history. I'm not a technical guy, but I know the general system they have very well. That's not a lot of the FBI. Only very special units would have even knowledge that exists, much less be able to activate it. That sounds like CIA to me. That's CIA Info Vault 7 stuff.
Well, and that in the overlap, when we looked at the geofencing of the electronic devices present at Crooks's home, at the shooting range, at the Butler rally, and a few other locations, we saw some overlap. The Heritage Foundation came out with a report stating that somebody with a device at Crooks's house showed up at the FBI prior to the shooting of near the DC FBI building prior to the shooting event. We saw that too in our geofencing analysis. Okay, we've got 8,000, nearly 10,000 pages of just data points of electronic devices, Crooks's home, and other and the rally location, and trying to match this up is what we're doing right now, and it's taking us quite a bit of time. But the bottom line is this: there are known intelligence community operatives using whether cell phones, tablets, or whatever that interacted with Thomas Crooks and other individuals, key individuals.
That came out early, but you're saying, and I've seen this in the news, more and more is found. Basically, it's like flies on you know what. They're swarming around him. He's also, isn't he going to D.C. to the FBI building?
Well, again, that was one device that appeared at the home of Crooks. So, was that like a one-off? And I know some of these systems, the geofencing systems, will throw a glitch once in a while. But that's a really coincidental glitch. Why there as opposed to someplace in Iowa? Okay.
And for new listeners that don't understand this, again, I'm just giving you the 35,000-foot view that I'm an expert on, but I guess the technicals I don't understand. But how it works with the cell towers and with the GPS and all the rest of it, that's how how folks were able to make 2,000 mules was they went to towns and just spot checked with the people's cell phones who were there dropping off all the hundreds of fake ballots. They would go back to the safe houses, and they had in some cases thousands, of people going around in the cities and key battle around states to the drop boxes, back to the safe houses, getting the ballots back and forth, taking photos when they would dump in the fake ballots. And so that's another example of using the geolocation records. And anybody, not just the government or corporations that has money, you can go buy everybody's cell phone records, folks. And it turns out Amazon, it came out in court last week, for years is grabbing all your cell phone data when you log in and buy things on your phone, and they're selling all that data. So that's what you're investigating, and you're using those systems against Big Brother.
Exactly. And I'll tell you what, it's no easy task, but good things don't come easy anyway, and we have to be very precise and accurate when we provide this data. So The issue, again, I guess the bottom line issue here, Alex, is when you look at Crooks, you look at Ruth from Florida 64 days later, there, and even when you look to a somewhat of a larger, broader extent, the private criminal complaint that we started off with by Hasada Feinberg. Feinberg might not be wrong, incorrect with respect to Shapiro, okay? But there's no evidence provided within that report. However, when we look at the tracking data, like you said, 2,000 mules and in the same fashion. You look at the tracking data. It's interesting that you have FBI, CIA, other intelligence agency assets involved in this. And I'd like to say this too, because you're showing that you're showing a video of the shooting of the crime scene. When Eli Crane and Corey Mills were given access to the crime scene. I've got a problem with this. They were shown that was essentially a guided tour by the FBI. It's my understanding, where they were on top of the roof at the time that they were on top of the roof. And I want people really to think about this. If you have an FBI agent, and this is why I don't engage in private tours, because if you have an FBI agent saying, okay, here's the roof, here's the overlook, here's where the shooter was, at that moment in time, at that very same moment, there were FBI agents dismantling an air conditioning unit, probably 50 yards away from where they were and out of sight, out of visual range from where they were. And they were quietly dismantling this air conditioning unit that could very well have had fingerprints and other evidence on this particular.
And the FBI was drawing people away from that.
Exactly. So this is why, because
beyond suspicious behavior. And so bottom line, what are, with all the time, and you have experts, you know, on the geo stuff, is your point. They're looking at it. What are you approximating we should see from Trump, his statement saying, ordering Secret Service release all the stuff they're suppressing from both assassination attempts? What are you hearing from your sources is coming next?
Okay, I would say this. You will have dribs and drabs of information coming out about this as well as the Florida attempt. Again, that was in September. I do believe that, and this relates to Kash Patel getting into the FBI, being confirmed as an FBI director, as the FBI director. I do believe that they're slow walking Patel and they're messing with the other nominations in order to keep this away from the general public. But my sources are telling me that the president at some point in time is going to demand the release of all investigative documents, including the ones that are just BS, basically.
Alrighty, we're going to come back. We're going to stop it right there. But see, this was the Feinberg report of what we reported on last week. And as we said, you know, we had the documents, and the documents were, he did make all of these charges. He did file all of these and that. But according to some, he didn't have that much proof on the governor there of Pennsylvania, Shapiro. But we do know that Shapiro had met a number of times prior to this, the assassination attempt with Biden. We know that Biden said he would stop Trump. Trump would not. Remember going all the way back, he said he would keep him from running. He would stop him so that he, before the election. And in fact, he said he would put a target on him. And so we believe when it comes out that, that Biden, like Johnson, was behind the killing of JFK. We believe the same thing. What do you think, Wendy?
Quite possibly, yeah, I think so. I mean, it's diabolical planning. It's, but nothing new under the sun, though, is there?
No. No, we've been doing this now, again. Some of the stations, I know that Bloomberg has been going after Alex Jones. Bloomberg went after me years ago. He bought several of the stations we were on, just shut them down. To get not just us, but also Alex Jones and also Noah Hutchins and others off those stations. But now we're the mainstream. We are now the mainstream. Now we have a lot more outlets of information than they do. And so this is why I believe we can really shut down the deep state now. But now they're paranoid. This is why you're seeing all of this. You're seeing all this distraction, everything, the screaming and the hollering. Boy, the Democrats do not want people to know how they've been wasting your money, how they've been stealing from you, and how they've been taking all of these bribes and kickbacks, because they're all involved. And so this is why, if you've been watching these hearings, they're absolutely ludicrous, the things they're saying. They're using profanity. They're calling Elon Musk. They're using profanity as his name. Here, some of the things that, you know, they were referring to President Trump as, again, Mr. Big, it starts with a B, you know, mm-hmm. Men's anatomy. And so, and not only, I mean, just unbelievable. They're really getting vulgar. I mean, it's like the Congress thinks they're the women on The View. I mean, just real filthy language, but they're doing that to distract.
I hope they could recover some of this money they've stolen and put it back so we don't have any debt anymore, you know?
Well, I don't think that's ever possible because, again, a lot of what this stuff, like Trump says, he doesn't think that we are that much in debt because a lot of this stuff that, you know, that they've taken I'm not an economist. I'll let the economists get into that more. But I don't know if you're going to ever get any of that back. But I know one thing, that they said that they could, within the first year, recover $1 trillion. They could cut the deficit by $1 trillion, okay, this first year. And so... Here, give you an example. Do you remember at Trump's inauguration, you had that she was a witch, but she was supposed to be Bishop Marion Edgar Budd. She was the woman who was the so-called Episcopal minister over there at that church. She's the one that insulted the entire Trump family. She was supposed to be given a service. Do you remember that, Wendy?
Vaguely.
Okay. Style, you know about that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here, to give you an example of what I'm talking about, she got $53 million. $53 million in taxpayers' funds for the Episcopal Migration Ministries.
Wow.
Do you know what that $53 million went to? Smuggling children for sex. Now, these people, these so-called pastors, there was one out there today at that meeting they had in Massachusetts, where was it Worcester, I think, in Massachusetts, at that city town hall meeting where they want to make it a sanctuary city for sodomites, drag queens, and trans things, okay? And here you had this woman come out as she was wearing clerical garb, and she introduced herself as pastor, but she was a witch. She was a witch. Do you know what she said about the Lord Jesus? She said if he was here today, he would be either in drag or as a trans man. That's what she said. Okay. And so, again, women are not to be ordained ministers. They are not to be pastors of church. God hasn't changed, you know. God's word's immutable. It doesn't change. And but these women are definitely witches. Okay, but anyhow, that's what's so we're seeing this coming down. This would be a major, major crack. Now here's what'll happen. Remember, remember Special Counsel Orr? How?
Yeah.
He said Biden was not capable of because he was mentally incompetent to be held trial. Well, you know, but he was capable to keep running the government, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, do you often feel that they're really insulting your intelligence? And, you know, Orr didn't like to say that. He didn't want to have to say that. He said that because he was under orders, direct orders from his boss, Merrick Garland, who was under orders by Joe Biden to make those statements, okay? Biden was trying to protect himself. Now, anyhow, remember what Biden said prior, he said to accept a pardon means that it's an admission of guilt. And he didn't pardon himself. And what's going to happen with these people? What if they take Biden? Trump can arrange that to have him brought in because that's an assassination attempt.
Yep.
Okay. And so, and if the governor's involved in that, and Alex Jones seems to believe he is, and it seems there's some evidence that he is, because of the meetings that they had, so many meetings he had, were like private meetings. They were discussing something, weren't they?
Yeah.
And so, anyhow, there's a lot of things happening out there. Did you know, Wendy, that... Here, the USAID sent $9.3 billion to Islamic terror states. They killed 3,000 American soldiers. And they sent over $18 billion to Islamic terrorist states, just to the states, okay? And so, but you're not hearing that. Now, again, this stuff is going to be coming out. We're usually out there about 2 weeks ahead of by the time it hits Fox News or whatever, okay? But here, one of the things that's happening out there today is that Pam Bundy, she is pressing charges against Kathy Hochul and Natisha James, and also some guy named Mark Schroeder, okay, for harboring criminals. I hope this is a criminal charge. I'm hoping that it's just not some kind of, that this is a criminal charge, because... That's what, when you harbor, criminals, that's what they've been doing. So I'm hoping she goes after them and prosecutes them for doing that, okay? Because they're harboring a lot of criminals, and just think of that criminal they were harboring there in New York and set that woman on fire and everybody sat there and watched her burn to death and nobody helped her. Kathy Hochul is responsible for that. Joe Biden's responsible. He brought those people in here. And how many of them have killed and raped? How many of them have raped young women and killed them? All of Biden's sex offenders and murderers that he brought into this country. Okay, so... by the way, I had to laugh there. You had that one... Democrat congresswoman, and she was making a statement that there was a time when the types of people that Donald Trump has appointed could never have been confirmed. Well, for that foolish woman, that was during the Biden years, or during the Obama years, okay? Now, think about that. I want you to think about this for a minute, right? She talks about types of people. Who has Trump appointed for his Surgeon General? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
Do you know, Style?
I do not.
You know what? I don't know either. But I know one thing. I know whoever it is, I know it's going to be a whole lot better than Rachel Levine.
That's not a very high bar.
Rachel Levine, I mean, that is one ugly man wearing a dress, okay? That's a very, very confused individual. And so, do you know who Trump has appointed to be in charge of nuclear waste disposal?
No.
No, I don't know either. But I do know whoever it is better than Sam Brinton. Do you know who Sam Brinton is, don't you?
No.
He's the bald-headed guy that wears a dress and really red lipstick. And he runs through airports and he steals women's luggage. And then he opens up the women's luggage and plays with it in the airport. That's who...
The Surgeon General, he selected Dr. Jeanette Neshwit. She's a surgeon. So that's who he picked for the Surgeon General.
I don't know much about her, but I know Trump. I know that she's got at least... be a person of morality.
Well, I'll tell you this much. From everything I'm seeing, at least she's actually a woman.
Yeah, she's a real woman, right?
Right.
She's also been on TV. They call her a TV doctor, so...
Now I know who that is. That's the one that they had on Fox News. It's been on there several times. Yeah, they had her on Fox News. Now I remember, yeah. What about, see who you can find out who was the czar in charge of nuclear waste disposal? That would be interesting. Well, anyhow, you know what? I'm past my time. I've got to give that invitation.
Well, you do that, I need to. Can I remind your listeners of our VIP sale?
Yeah. Oh, yes. We haven't even done that. And by the way, again, I want to thank you for my herbs came today.
Yeah. It's 20% off. Order $70 or more, but it ends Saturday the 15th of February, so and it's on everything that we make, so anything you needed, 15% off. Use VIP25 when you check out or over the phone or on your order form.
All right. They can go up on the internet to go to thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, right. Or they can call you at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Wendy, we got, again, I want to thank you for that order coming in. Folks, if they were to look at my table over there, I think I got about every one of the herbs that you make, and I take them every single day, too. And so, anyhow, we were talking about we won't need those herbs in heaven. Here you have the master in heaven. We're going to have a place to live. We're going to have 12 different types of fruit to eat from the tree of life. And we're going to drink from the rivers of life, too. So we won't need herbs there. But unfortunately, we're not there yet. But for the folks out there listening, the only way you're going to get there is you got to be born again. You must be born again. And how do you get born again? Well, you got to do this. Here's what the Lord said. You have to pray and first repent of your sins. There can be no forgiveness without repentance. Got to be repentance out there. Okay. In other words, you have to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ took a substitutionary place upon, he took your place, he took my place upon that cross. And Wendy, can you imagine what it would be like to have the sins of billions of people, past, present, and future, laid upon you?
It'd be pretty weighty, wouldn't it?
It's an ugly, ugly thing, that sin. God cannot, the Father cannot look upon sin without punishing sin. And all those sins was the Lord Jesus took upon the cross, and the Father had to turn his head away for a minute there. And then so again, he suffered like no man had ever suffered, far beyond our comprehension. Now, he did that for you, and he did that for me. But, folks, let me tell you, unless you accept him, unless you acknowledge that and repent of your sins. Ask for forgiveness of your sins. And unless you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and ask him to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any exceptions, any reservations, when Jesus hung upon that cross, he esteemed you and me much higher than himself. He put you ahead of himself. Now, in order to receive that eternal life, you have to put him before everyone, before father, mother, sister, brother, yourself. You have to put the Lord Jesus out there and in obedience. And once you've done that, once you've called upon him and asked him to be the Lord of your life, then you become a new creature. You become a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom. And what happens when you become an heir of the kingdom? What lies ahead? What do you think, well, Wendy?
You co-rule with the Lord.
Yeah, you're actually right. We become co-rulers during the millennial kingdom. We rule here, and we'll have glorified bodies, won't we? And so, you know, once we have these glorified bodies, can't get sick, no more pain, no more cancer. Okay, none of these things. We can never die. We can never die again. And so, but again, you must be born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. So, folks, you need to do that. You need to call tonight. Pray upon the name of the Lord. Ask the Father. Pray to the Father. Ask for forgiveness of your sins. Ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom. Because let me tell you, the other side of that, if you fail to do that, it won't end well for you, will it, Wendy?
No. You know, I mean, what's that saying? You know, set your eyes on the kingdom of God and the earth is thrown in. But if you set your sight on just, you know, worldly goods here on earth, then you lose both heaven and earth.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, it's well, I'm going to tell you, you know, just the thought of hell, because it's eternal. It's eternal. Doesn't ever end. Boy, it's just torment. And here's the thing: people don't have to go there. They choose to go there. They choose to go there. You know, we call Democrats dumb, and they choose to go there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a terrible thing. But again, and this is why, when we give, when the preacher gives that invitation, Wendy, he is just the messenger.
Right.
The messenger, the message is coming from up on high, huh?
It is.
And sometimes you've heard people say, I've actually had young guys say to me, well, right now I'm going to party hardy, and when I get old, preach, then I'll get religion, but right now I'm going to party hardy. And I told them, I didn't get this old by being stupid. You may not ever get this. Your partying days may be shorter than you think. You can't afford that. You really can't. Well, we're out of time. We're at that time. Thanks for being here, Wendy.
And
so,
pleasure.
As we say always at this time, thank good night, God bless, and always, always, always. You ready? And besides, we did the fight before Trump. Keep fighting the fight, 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 fight. We did it before Trump. Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.